Inner ear infections are big problems for Indigenous children living in rural locations, and these infections can lead to permanent hearing loss later in life. A recent report by the Royal Australian College of Surgeons has revealed inner ear disease is being poorly addressed in implementation plans to close the gap. Dr. Damien Howard of Phoenix Consulting spoke with the WIRE's Taylor Cullingford about the effects of inner ear infections on Indigenous communities.
Otitis media is an infection of the middle ear, and it's one of the most common ailments children go to doctors for. And it's something that usually is short-lived amongst non-Aboriginal Australians, but Indigenous Australians experience chronic middle ear problems for about 2.5 years of their childhood. And that means that they have hearing loss a lot more of the time during their childhood. And also the damage done to the middle ear caused a permanent hearing loss. For many children, even though their hearing loss because of otitis media resolve, they're left with a secondary condition called auditory processing problems, where they have some difficulties understanding what's said, particularly in noisy environments.
How many Indigenous people is this affecting?
It varies between different communities, but it is pretty pervasive throughout Australia. More children have more ear disease for longer in remote communities. Less Indigenous children have that disease in more urban communities. It's really related to disadvantage, crowded housing, poor nutrition, a whole lot of other factors that contribute to poverty and are associated with poverty. That's higher in those communities.
What kind of social effects is this hearing loss having on Indigenous communities?
Firstly, with children in families. Families often don't know the children have any hearing loss, so they're liable to think the children are ignoring parents or carers. At school, children with middle ear problems attend school less because school's often an uncomfortable place, so they participate less when they are at school, often likely to have behaviour problems or be very quiet and shy and may spend a lot of time just trying not to be noticed. And they are likely to feel isolated from their peers. And in the Northern Territory, a specialist told me that 50% of the appointments in remote communities aren't attended by patients. Their contribution to that is so many patients likely to have hearing loss and auditory processing problems and being fearful of meeting a new person. So it's better just not to go there rather than feel that sense of shame.
So what kind of effects is this having on these children once they reach adulthood?
Those effects continue into adulthood. If they're left with some degree of permanent hearing loss, that makes communication more difficult. If they're looking for a job or in employment, have more difficulties in understanding what they're asked to do, and that makes them feel isolated. And because they develop compensating strengths, such as visual literacy, being able to read other people's body language and facial expression. One Aboriginal health worker said to me that you see that look on people's faces where they think you're just some dumb black fella. So that avoidance of many situations can then impact on how well they can access healthcare services, engage in supports for literacy and adult literacy or job training.
What kind of strategies are these?
The service had 50% of its clients who were in wheelchairs, but the service didn't have any wheelchair ramps. It would make it really hard for those people to access those services. And when up to 50% and in some cases more Indigenous people have hearing loss and they're accessing services that don't take that into account, it's a situation that's very similar to what happens with those people in wheelchairs. But because it's very obvious if we're in wheelchairs, we know about that and accommodate to that. Whereas because hearing loss is often an invisible disability and the people themselves don't know about it, so if services help to provide information about what's likely to happen, for example, if someone's going to a specialist doctor's appointment, that they give them information that lets them know either a video or written type information with lots of pictures that lets them know what is going to happen in that engagement with that specialist. Without that kind of assurance, they're likely to feel very anxious and maybe not go to that appointment.
That was Dr. Damien Howard speaking to the WIRE's Taylor Cullingford.